We're going to get down into the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. We stopped around verse number 4. Amen. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Yes.
One more verse. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks,
standing here for reading of the word of the Lord tonight. But, you know, you can ask people a question. You could say, what if you were to die today? Are you ready to meet God? Amen. Brother Tommy talking along those lines there just now. I've heard lots of good things. I've heard people say, well, I'm a good person. You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I've heard people say, well, I keep the golden rule. Heard people say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. I heard people say, I go to church.
Yeah.
Amen. I hate to bust anybody's bubble tonight, but the devil don't really care if you sit on the front seat in church.
Come on, buddy. Right.
As long as you never get involved and never let the fire of the altar get near your heart. Amen. That's another message for another night. The devil don't care if you're baptized. I've heard people say, well, I was baptized back when I was 16 years old. That means nothing.
Amen.
I know that shoots a lot of doctrines out of the water right there. Praise God. Baptism ain't going to take you to heaven. You get baptized because you are saved.
Right.
Baptism don't save you.
Right.
But you get baptized because you are saved.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. And somebody said, well, I prayed and I feel like the Lord has answered a prayer for me. He might have, and it might just be coincidence. I don't know. If your heart ain't right.
Come on.
Right. Woo. Boy, starting off a little rough here. Hallelujah.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen. But the Lord will help us tonight. I'd like to try to preach on, amen, getting victory over vanity. Hallelujah. Getting victory over vanity.
Yes.
That's what Paul did right here in these verses. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul had quite the resume. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. It was a part of the ceremonial cleansing of the law under the Jewish custom that the eighth day the Jewish child was to be circumcised. Paul said, boys, my life has been to the letter of the law. Amen. Circumcised the eighth day. Listen, he goes on. He says, I was of the stock of Israel. Israelites stressed their special relationship with God. Amen. And we know that Jews were God's chosen people. But Paul here is trying to stress that all of these superiorities of the flesh, he was that. Amen.
Yeah.
But he still wasn't saved.
Right.
Hallelujah. Great right. God in heaven. Right. Amen. He said the name Israel was given to Jacob by God himself by calling him an Israelite. Paul stressed the absolute purity of his family tree. Amen. The blood of a man's ancestors is not what saves him, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But as many, John 1 and 12, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad I believed on the name of Jesus, aren't you? Hallelujah. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. Great God. We're going to get into it here in just a moment. Bear with me. He said, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Praise God. I mean, how great God, Brother Earl. Amen. When we was younger, he was into it a little bit. I was into it a little bit. When you get a good coon hound, you study its bloodline out. Praise God. And that old leper bloodline used to be some good bloodline. Praise God. And Paul, not only, he said, was I of the stock of Israel, but he said, I'm of the tribe. I can prove to you, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to liken Paul to a coon hound, but he was of leper blood. Praise God. Amen. He said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. Hey, God. Not all the Jews could prove this because many records were lost during the Babylonian captivity. Amen. But he said, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Hallelujah. Hey, God in heaven. Amen. Benjamin, praise God. Amen. Was the son of Rachel, Jacob's wife. And of the 12, he was the only one born in the promised land. And from the tribe of Benjamin came the first king of Israel, Saul by name. Hallelujah. Hey, God in heaven. Mordecai in the Old Testament, that great man of God, was of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul belonged to the highest aristocrat of Israel. Amen. He was stating that his ancestor was pure. Amen. Hey, God in heaven. He said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was saying, when it comes to ancestors, when it comes to blood, you couldn't get no better than me. Later on, he lets us know, but he still was out of the will of God. He still persecuted the church. He still killed many Christians. His bloodline didn't make one iota. But thank God, I come to tell us tonight, amen, as Brother Tom said, not really raised in church. Sister Lisa mentioned that. Probably about half and half split if we would take a vote. About half and half of us come out of a bloodline that had nothing to do with church. Probably about half of us come out of a bloodline that had a little bit of some ancestry in church. I come to tell my girls tonight, I come to tell you tonight, it don't matter if you're raised up on a church pew, that's great. And I hope you are. That doesn't make you saved. That don't make you a Christian. Paul said, I was of Israel. I was of the stock of Israel. I was, amen, Benjamin. Thank God of the tribe of Benjamin. But he said, I still wasn't right with God. Amen. And he said, hey, man, thank God I wasn't right until that Damascus road. And I met the Lord and he come down inside of my heart. I come to tell us here, every single one of us has to have a Damascus road. You can't make it to heaven on dad's experience. You can't make it to heaven. Help me. I will preach to you here tonight. You can't make it to heaven on mom's experience. You can't make it on the Sunday school teacher's experience. But you've got to have a Damascus road experience in your life where you look at God face to face. Hey, where you meet God and have a true experience, a life-changing experience in your life. I'll never forget what happened to me. I had a grandpas that were bootleggers. I had grandpas, amen, that were a witch, in the witchcraft and things like that. I wasn't like Paul. I didn't have much of an ancestry to the bloodline of the kingdom, if you will. But about 13 years old, my mom said, I'm going to take them down to the house of God. I never was raised in church, she said, but something just told her it'd be better if you take your kids and teach them a little bit about God. Hey, my grandpa on my mom's side, as far as I know, he died 72 years old with a massive heart attack. Those that were around said he grabbed his chest, smoked since he was a teenager, worked in the garage, working on cars all of his life, grabbed his chest, fell to his knees, and that was all of it. And my dad said, Parsley Nose. Amen. So everybody called him Skeets, was his nickname. They said Skeets never stepped a foot in the church in all of his life. So that didn't give me much of a chance. But 13 years old, in the back corner of a little church, set off around 80 coming out of Gilbert, a Holy Ghost knocked on my heart. Hey, and I saw a great light. I had a Damascus Road experience. used to be. Thank God, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. I come to tell us, church, you got to have your own experience.
Yes, Lord.
Right.
Glory.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. I wanted to stop right there a moment. I got to go right on here. Amen. As touching the law of Pharisee and profited in the Jews' religion. Amen. Galatians said, above my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Paul was a zealous Pharisee. The Pharisees, listen, were the spiritual athletes of Judaism. They were not very much in abundance, not more than 6,000 of his day were considered Pharisees, but they called themselves the separated ones. They had a very high moral standard of living. Hey, God, maintained the letter to the, as you say, the law to the letter. Hallelujah. Hey, God, Paul said, I kept all of that, but it still didn't get me where I needed to be. Hey, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, to a Jew, a zeal, amen, was a great quality. Hallelujah. Now, you can go all the way back to the book of Numbers, chapter number 25. Amen. Phinehas saved people from the wrath of God because he was zealous for the Lord. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my name's sake. It's a great thing to be zealous for the name of the Lord. But Paul wasn't zealous for God. He was zealous for his cause of being a Pharisee. Hey, the psalmist said, David said, I was zealous for the Lord. Psalm 69:9, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Paul worked hard at his religion, but with all of his zeal, he was still a sinner. Hallelujah. He measured his zeal by his hatred toward Christians. His reputation was one that he persecuted the church. Hallelujah. He hounded them 28 times in the New Testament. Amen. Said that he persecuted. Amen. That's what Paul did, like an old hog rooting out in the ground. He wreaked havoc of the church. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Hallelujah. I tell you, he just wreaked havoc of the church. He was a man that was vanity. His whole life was lived in vain. Oh, but if the Lord help us, I'd like to preach to us how we're going to get victory over the vanity that I've been up against in my life. Hey, I come to tell you, you can live for God in persecution. Did you know that? Missionaries has had to do it. Christians have had to do it. They've given their life up against persecution. Persecution is how the church was spread and how it was born in the New Testament. Persecution is just a little bit of kindling for the fires of God. Oh, I come to tell you right here tonight, church, you can be victorious in a sinful day. Hallelujah. Touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. Hallelujah. Paul said, man, I live the righteous life. You could not spot my life according to the letter of the law. You couldn't spot my life.
Thank you, that. Yeah.
Woo. Hold on. I'm going to preach to you.
Yes, Lord.
Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean as an unclean thing.
Yeah.
And all our righteousness is filthy rags. And as and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away.
Oh, yes.
My righteousness without him is zero. My righteousness without him, Brother Anthony, can't help nobody.
Right.
But if he gets involved,
yes,
he can help us. Hallelujah. Woo! All right, let's get to the meat of it. But what things, verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Hallelujah. His whole outlook on life changed when he met Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul was willing to forsake everything. Great God in heaven. Amen. Give old Brother Anthony a pat on the back. He testified earlier. Amen. And he did this about 3 or 4 services in a row. Exactly what I was going to preach on for that night. And he said, amen, that we got to be willing to give it all up for the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what Paul did. Amen. He was willing to give his former life up to follow after Jesus. Moses made a similar decision. By faith, Hebrews said, when he came to the years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. No other path leads to a life of service for God than one that you have to say goodbye to yesterday. And today's a brand new day. We cannot cling to an old lifestyle and make a new life count for Him. That's why we're living, church, in a powerless generation of Christianity, because we have a generation, the mega church, the worldly church, and the churches in general. They're not willing to leave their old lifestyle and change their life 180 degrees and give it to God. They have just tried to add Jesus to the mix of things, and we don't have no power with God because we want to live like we want to live and add Him to the mix. But Paul said, no, I had to give it all up. Moses said, I had to give it all up. I could have lived down there in the pleasures of sin. I could have kept calling Pharaoh's daughter my mother. I had it made in the palace, but I had to forsake all of that. Amen. Take up my cross and follow after Him. And I come to tell us that's exactly what we have to do. We've got to be willing to give everything to Him. He's not wanting just part of you. He's not just wanting amen, a percentage of you, but He wants all of us. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
A man's religion can condemn him to hell if he permits it to become a substitute for Jesus.
Right.
How many religious organizations gather together across this country in the name of religion?
Yeah.
Woo! You might as well help me. I'm going to preach to you here in a second.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We was downtown the other day, and I know nothing about it. It's secretive. I don't even know it. I never had no interest much in it. But we come downtown, big old nice beautiful building there, said a Masonic temple. That's what the temple part's what got a hold of my mind. Temple.
Yeah.
I thought, how really it aggravated me. I thought, how they call themselves just a cultist worship gathering, and they call it a temple. That's not a temple.
No.
Amen. That's not a temple.
Come on.
Look at all the religious organizations that gather together. Amen. And they're not gathering in the name of one. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. They're not gathering together in the name of God Almighty. They're just gathering together in the name of religion. God, what about the Muslims? What about all these that gather and pray for hours at the wailing wall? It's not getting them nowhere. Hey, you can't just add religion to the mix. You got to turn from your old way. Hey, God, turn to Jesus 100% if we want God to stir our land again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. We got onto this a little bit last week. Rather than disobey the word of the Lord. 100%. Brother Daniel, Abraham was willing to follow after the Lord. Amen. The promised son. I don't have time to get into all that. God promised him a son. It didn't look like it was going to happen. What was it? Some 25 years after the promise, Sarah laughed at God and said, how can I, in my old age, bear a child? And God said, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Some 25 years, I think it was, later, Isaac is born. Hey God. How old is Isaac? It's a debate there. Some think he was a teenager. Some think he was possibly an early, amen, adult, 17, 18 years old. He was somewhere along those lines. Hey God, here Isaac is gathering the wood. Amen. And they got the knife, they got the wood, they got the fire. And Isaac said, Dad, where's the lamb at? Where's the sacrifice? Hallelujah. Abraham said, God will provide a sacrifice. And when he left, he told him, me and the lad is going to go away, and I'm going to offer up a sacrifice to my God. Notice this. And he said, we shall return. Hallelujah. Hey, God. You go to Hebrews, and that Hall of Faith chapter in the book of Hebrews said, and by faith, Abraham, underline it, offered up his only son, Isaac. Hallelujah. Hey, God. I'm about to feel like shouting, amen. Brother Daniel, he offered him up. What does that mean? That means Abraham, hey, God, done purposed in his heart that he was going to slay his promised son Isaac. Hey, and he believed that if he slew, offered up his promised son Isaac, that God would deliver him. I come to tell us, church, God expected Abraham to give his all, and he expects us to give everything. You can't hold back. You can't hold back part. We got to be willing to give it all.
Woo! Always wondered, I got to move on here. So much to get to. Always wondered about Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that?
Yeah.
They went out and sold their land, their house, and they brought in part of the price and offered it up. You know the story.
Yeah.
They lied to the Holy Ghost, the Bible said.
Yeah. Right.
Lied to the Holy Ghost. Peter was there. And you can't lie to the man of God.
Oh.
You can't lie to God. Be sure your sin will find you out.
Yeah.
Amen. So he lied. Here's the whole point. I wondered about that when I was younger. I thought, well, he sold it. They sold what they had.
Yeah.
And they gave a lot. But here's the problem. They didn't. They was unwilling to give all.
Right.
And they gave a pretense that they were giving all.
Yeah.
And it upset God.
Come on.
And he slew them. Ananias and Sapphira both lost their life.
Yeah.
Because they said they gave all, but they only gave part. Let me tell you something, church. God ain't going to set part. He's not going to accept just part, but it's going to take all. Oh, God, help me, Lord, in 2020 to be willing to give all. Amen.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise
God. Oh, God.
Mary gladly poured out the finest ointment. She gave all.
Sure did.
Yes.
Yes, she did.
Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly. It equaled a year's wages. How much you make a year? Don't claim it out. We all make different. How much you make a year? Mary gave a year's wages. This bottle of spikenard. In other words, a year's worth of labor.
Yeah.
She took it and offered it up. Opened that bottle and anointed the feet of Jesus. Washed his feet with her hair.
Yeah.
The aroma filled the air. What a service of worship it was.
Oh yes, God.
She was willing.
Yeah.
In just a few moments of time to offer up a year's worth of labor. She gave all.
Right.
She gave everything.
Right.
Woo! I hope you're getting this. Amen. What is it that makes such absolute surrender possible? How can I get to the place where I get victory over this vanity that I've been fighting? Well, you got to ask yourself this question. Amen. Who are you, Lord? Who is he? Who is he really in your life? Is he just some figment of your imagination? Is he just some part-time God that you serve when you have time? Or is he your God like he was to Mary? He was her everything. Hey, God. Amen. And the next question is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. We should be ready and willing to count all things lost and begin anew with Christ after we are saved. We should be willing to give up everything for Him. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
When we look at that which we value so much, amen, at those vain things in our life, good for nothing, we begin to be at victory over that when we're willing to put Him above that.
Yes.
What's that thing in your life that you had to give up before God would baptize you in the Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
Amen. We've all been there. We've all been there. What was that thing you had to give up before He'd sanctify you holy?
Oh,
all right. Hallelujah.
All right.
Woo! I tell you what it was. It was that vain thing in your life. Amen. But Paul said we got to be willing to get victory over those vain things. Hallelujah. Hey, God. When we begin to deny ourselves and to die out to self, we start to get our priorities in a proper perspective. Hallelujah. I'm about done. Yay. Verse number 8. Doubtless for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may know Him. Yea, doubtless, which means yes indeed. Hey God, it will benefit us very much to forsake all and to follow after Him. Hey God, did you hear that? It will benefit greatly if you're willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. What about James? What about John? What about Simon Peter? Hey God, Luke 5 and verse number 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, hey God, listen to this, they forsook part of their business.
Oh.
Woo! Hey God, hallelujah. They forsook some of it and they followed after Him. No. And when they underline it, write it down, look at it later. 5 and 11, Luke. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook everything. Hey God, and followed after Him. Hey, look at this. This wasn't a bunch of shabby old men. I realized they weren't theologians. I realized they weren't the smartest guys, hey God, in the society of that day. But they were prosperous fishermen. They made their living by fishing, and they were good at it, praise God. Later on, Peter gets a little bit upset with the Lord when the Lord come walking on the water and said, cast your nets on the other side. Peter got upset, and he said, Lord, I know how to fish. I know how to catch fish. It's all I've ever done. I can catch fish when nobody else does. I know how to catch. They were prosperous fishermen. They knew the business. They made their money at fishing. Thank God. But when they fell in love with Jesus, hallelujah, the Bible said that they brought their ships in. They parked them and they forsook everything. They forsook the boats. They forsook the nets. They forsook the fishing reel. And they said, Lord, wherever you go, we'll follow. Hey. And over 2,000 years later, we got a book of James. James is still living on. We got a book of Peter. Peter's words are still living on. We got St. John. It's still rolling on. If you're willing to follow him and give up everything, it'll be valuable in the end.
All right. Praise you,
Lord.
Woo! It'll be worth it.
Woo! I hope I'm helping you.
Yes, God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What's the opposite? That rich young ruler. What must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
Jesus said, go sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Yep. Well, you know, first they had the Ten Commandment conversation.
Right.
These that I kept from my youth up.
Yeah.
I was raised up church. I live a good life, he was saying.
Yeah.
But a good life ain't enough.
All right.
Without Jesus.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right.
These that I kept from my youth up. Well, go and sell everything you got, give to the poor, and then thou shalt have eternal life. Amen. The Bible said the man hung his head and went away sorrowful, for he had much possessions. Oh God.
Woo! That's a quite different picture than Peter, James, and John, who left everything
and followed the Lord.
What happened to that man? He died shortly after that.
And he had to meet God, amen, with an empty basket.
Oh, oh God.
Yeah. What would have happened to that man? Some believe that man is the rich man of Luke 16. I don't know. Hey God, I'm not that deep yet. I don't know if he is that rich man or not. But I know this, he died unprepared to meet God because he was not willing to give everything to Jesus. My question for us tonight, how am I going to get victory over this thing that keeps getting between me and my salvation, between me and my God? I tell you how you have to do it. Hey God, hey man, I'd have lost my place. Here's the key to my message. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Paul said, those things don't mean nothing to me, but I found out, hey God, that if I can get in the Spirit and know him, thank God, of the excellency of Christ and his Spirit, that's all that matters. I come to tell us, church, money don't matter, homes don't matter, cars don't matter, jobs don't matter,